Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC for July 8th, 2013. A day when the world is trying to figure out whether overthrowing Mohamed Morsi was an act to preserve democracy or to undermine it. A day when the media shorthand for Edward Snowden has gone from whistleblower to leaker to hacker to fugitive. And a day when New York City Democrats are suddenly trying to figure out whether they can forgive Anthony Weiner and Elliot Spitzer at the same time. And on that note, this program note, Governor Spitzer will join us to talk about his new run for New York City Comptroller in 20 minutes from right now. Then we'll take your phone calls on the whole thing. Obviously, people want to talk about this. I see we already have half a dozen comments on our comments page regarding Spitzer, and we haven't even put out the web address or the phone number or anything yet. So we will talk to Elliot Spitzer in about 20 minutes and take your phone calls on him running for New York City Comptroller. But first, Elizabeth Williamson, Washington correspondent for The Wall Street Journal. Hi, Elizabeth. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, Brian, how are you? I'm kind of wondering when Newt Gingrich is going to get into the race there.
Yeah, he's going to have to change his residency. Do you think he could pass for a New Yorker?
You know, there's something about him. I don't know. Maybe he would lend some Southern charm to the whole thing.
Interesting. Maybe we can recruit him because we don't have enough larger-than-life figures to cover in this election season in New York right now. Well, I saw your tweet that you're going to come on the show and talk about everything that people weren't paying attention to when they were on the beach this weekend.
Right.
So let's
There's plenty to ignore, isn't there?
Absolutely. Let's focus mostly on Egypt and Snowden, I think, and first on the U.S. response to Egypt. I gather there is a U.S. law that prohibits U.S. aid to coups that overthrow mm-hmm. democracies. We give more than $1 billion a year in aid to the Egyptian military.
Right.
Are they grappling in the Obama administration with whether that law applies in this case?
Absolutely. And in classic Washington fashion, that grappling takes the form, at least initially or sometimes, in a fight over semantics. So is it a coup? Is it an arresting of control? Is it a regime change? What is it? The good news is that because this is the military engineering this, we do have some leverage given our, as you just pointed out, substantial foreign aid contribution to Egypt. So there is ostensibly some room to apply pressure. But as you say, you know, if this is indeed a military coup, which Republicans, including John McCain yesterday, are saying more and more that it is, then what happens to the money?
Listeners, do you have an opinion as to whether this was an act for or against democracy in Egypt? 212-433-WNYC. What would you like the United States to do about it, one way or the other? And we can also take your calls on Snowden, too, which is going to be our other topic with Elizabeth Williamson here in the next few minutes. 212-433-9692. As you're thinking about him evolving, what about these countries that it now looks he may wind up going to, either Venezuela or Bolivia, or maybe even Cuba, or Nicaragua, I should say? 212-433-9692. And the idea that the government hires people to be hackers. We're learning that that was part of his job description. So is this a necessary evil or maybe a necessary good thing in today's world? 212-433-9692. You know, I think on Egypt, Elizabeth, I didn't see the Sunday talk shows yesterday. I took that much of a holiday. So
there you go.
I don't know what John McCain, who I think should be paid probably as a CNN contributor. He's on there so much. But So I didn't see what anybody was saying, but it seems to me that this is a unique situation where only time will tell whether this was a coup to get Morsi out because he was undermining democracy even though he was the elected president, or whether this is a coup to undermine democracy itself and have the military swoop in and take over again regardless of the popular will. Only time will tell, depending on whether they set up a real course to new elections with, you know, more safeguards, that they're not going to be able to just Islamicize the government or do whatever the next winning coalition would do and plunder democracy.
Mm-hmm. The thing that is fascinating about this is that this, you could call this whatever you like, but I think at the end of the day, the military really doesn't want to be in charge. They want to set somebody up like they did, like they went along with Morsi in the beginning, just to get out of the driver's seat, because they're afraid of this public unrest that contributed to unseating him. You know, the military in Egypt is a very privileged group of people. They have their own schools. They have their own vacation places. They have their own social lives. They have their own clubs. They have many, many privileges. And preserving those privileges is more important to them than being an integral part of the functioning of the state. Because once they're part of that, then they're also responsible for joblessness, for infrastructure, for all the ugly things that people in these countries rise up and complain about.
So why did they bother to get involved to the degree of removing Morsi?
I think, again, their own perks are at stake here. So they feel like, you know, instability is a problem for them. But they, you know, just skipping forward, too, to this idea of whether this, as you're saying, time will tell whether this is a coup, whether this is wresting of control, whether it's an attempt for the military to step in as a stable institution and engineer a path forward, a democratic path forward. Who knows? But the violence in the country right now, the clashes between the pro-Morsi forces and the military are certainly not helping their case.
John in the East Village wants to weigh in. Hi, John.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
So one on each, Egypt and Snowden.
Uh-huh.
Very brief. So obviously, it's a coup. So hold back the $1 billion in aid, but release it later in the year after they fulfill their promise of having the election.
Ah, so it could be a temporary coup or a permanent coup.
You could even give them a bonus.
Okay, and on Snowden?
Snowden, what... Based on the forcing down the Bolivian playing last week with Bolivia's president, what are the legal questions concerning when a plane flies over some country like Austria, the ability to force it down when they're carrying someone seeking asylum?
Right. Great question. And Elizabeth, how embarrassed is the U.S. by that forcing down of Evo Morales' plane, President of Bolivia's plane, over Europe because people mistakenly thought Snowden might be on it?
I know. It was obviously this was a response. The caller is right. It's either forcing it down or, as what appears to be happening in his transit to Venezuela, at least initially, is the fact that countries don't want them to fly over. So they don't grant permission in the first place. So that puts his latest and seemingly most hopeful bid to gain asylum in Venezuela at risk, because he would have to fly over Cuba. And for reasons that are unclear, it looked like he already tried to do that and then ended up canceling out. So we don't know whether that it's because Havana doesn't want to get involved in this, or are they as willing as some of these other Latin American garden spots to stick their finger in the U.S.'s eye on this? It's such an embarrassing contretemps, because the U.S., what the U.S. really ought to do is make some kind of a deal with him and get him back to the United States with his four laptops full of information. But things appear to have totally spiraled out of control.
What kind of a deal? You mean a plea deal where he wouldn't be charged with espionage per se or something like that?
Something like that, yeah. Just to get him back here and you know, take this off the world stage. He didn't do himself any favors by aligning himself with WikiLeaks. First of all, they don't seem to have been able to help him too much. He's applied for asylum to 21 different countries, and he's got this handful of Latin American nations considering his request. Venezuela says they'll take him. The other two, Bolivia and Nicaragua. Bolivia's in favor. Nicaragua's thinking about it. So they haven't helped him much, and then the United States is just absolutely allergic to this organization. So he then looks more and more like a maverick and less like a responsible whistleblower.
Tony in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tony.
Hey, good morning. I actually want to know whether or not within the new, whether or not exists in the Egyptian constitution that the people could have recalled the president, or is it just now standard practice for whenever you dislike a leader to just take to the streets and hope that someone pushes them out? And whether or not also on the secondly, whether or not it's in the Constitution that the well, I'm sure that they believe it so, but the military can just go ahead and remove the leader at any time.
Well, the military can go ahead because they have the guns. But I think on Tony's initial question, which is an excellent question, I believe that one of the grievances that the protesters had against Morsi is that there was no provision in the new Constitution for impeachment. And so if he was plundering the very institutions of democracy that he was elected to set up, there was no legal mechanism to remove him, and that's one of the main reasons that they went to the extra legal means of going into the streets and demanding his resignation. You think that's right, Elizabeth?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is right. That is definitely one of the issues that they wanted. But of course, the Constitution, whether that's going to be binding at all, I think the following days will tell. You know, will there be an effort to craft a new government along the lines of what the Constitution specifies, or will the whole thing just be entirely engineered by the military?
You know what else is a fascinating dynamic for me and relevant to Tony's call is this is twice now in the last few months where people have taken to the streets to protest governments that are trying to Islamicize too much. The other, of course, in Egypt, where that's one of the, in Turkey, where that's one of the main complaints against Erdogan. And so, you know, it's a complicated region. And for Americans and others who want to write it off too simply as, oh, once they have democracy over there, they're going to elect all the Islamist radicals. Well, apparently not. Or apparently it's a much more complicated dynamic than that. And I think there's a fascinating connection between people going into the streets against too much Islamicization of government in Turkey and in Egypt.
It's true. I mean, you think, you know, when you think back a few months, you think, wow, people were so concerned that the Muslim Brotherhood had managed to get its candidate to take over the government. But now it's sort of like, you know, I mean, it really is. You have to be an absolute expert in the region, and even then they're confused about what this all means and where it will all shake out and end up.
Ahmad in Newark here on WNYC. Hi, Ahmad.
Good morning, Brian. How are you? And say hello to your guest. Brian, I would like to say one thing. What was orchestrated in Egypt is not just because of the last week or the 2 weeks. It's been from day one, and it's absolutely military coup, been blessed by the CIA and Israeli Mossad to serve the American Israeli interests in the Middle East on the back of the freedom, which is actually about to stabilize the Middle East in a much, much better way, more useful than the so-called peace talk. If Morsi stayed in power for just 4 years, not eight, just four, you would have seen much peaceful environment in the Middle East. The CIA got it wrong this time, just like when they did the Iraqi war. United States having won any war for the last 50 years by basically supporting dictators. United States supporting the dictators right now, which is the military leadership. Morsi have not jailed one person within the past 12 months, a journalist.
But why do you think why do you think the U.S. would find this in their interest? Morsi was, if nothing else, maintaining a stable relationship with Israel.
Brian, United States been listening to their own advisors. You have to spread real democracy by respecting people's choices, even if these choices are Islamist. As a matter of fact, look at the fact. Everything been happening the last 12 months, from dissembling the people's parliament, also trying to rig elections and everything else, it's been calculated. You had constitutional judges. They came up and they said things before it happened.
And I'm going to leave it there for time, but thank you for your call. And to his point, Elizabeth, you know, Thomas Friedman in his New York Times column Thursday wrote that Morsi played the U.S. the same way Mubarak did, which was play nice with Israel, and then the U.S. will leave you alone to do whatever you want to your own people. You think the Obama administration would bristle at that description, which is kind of the opposite of what Ahmad was just saying?
Right. I think they would bristle at that description, but I don't think it's necessarily inaccurate. I think that there is a history and a talent in the Middle East for very gingerly reconciling and juggling U.S. concerns in the region. Keep the aid coming. Keep the sort of balance equal. Keep things, the secular Islamist balance somewhat in equilibrium, and just keep the money coming. So I think that is what he tried to do. I mean, that's a matter of survival for any Middle Eastern leader in terms of economic survival. But as we're seeing, that's not necessarily a formula for political survival in your own country. It's a very delicate balancing act.
And back to Snowden for just a minute before you go, and we have Elliot Spitzer standing by to be our next guest now that he's running for New York City Comptroller. You had an article the other day in the Journal that said, for the NSA, hackers are needed but risky. Which, of course, goes to another label for Snowden besides whistleblower and leaker and fugitive, and that's hacker. And he was actually hired to be a hacker, somebody who breaks in to other people's networks. That's the latest version of part of his job description. And your article said some experts question the future of intelligence security in light of the recent events. So what's the context for that?
Well, the NSA in recent years, just like everybody, faced with all these rapidly accelerating technological changes. You have to keep, in order to keep track of people, you have to keep track of those changes. So they were bringing in, they actively seek hackers to try and test not only their own systems, but to break into the systems in other nations. So he was a so-called infrastructure analyst, meaning that he was testing those sorts of systems and trying to get in. And this is how he, as a contractor and as a, at the time, 29-year-old kid, got access to all of these secret programs that, normally would be reserved for privileged insiders to see. So, yeah, they there are people within the NSA, and they were quoted in my story saying, yes, we actively seek out those people because they know how to compromise the system. Unfortunately, they also know how to compromise the NSA, and that's the danger. These guys are different sorts of thinkers. They didn't come through the government hierarchy. They didn't come from the military. They don't follow a tradition of government service. And they're also post 9/11 babies, as it were. They came through. They started their careers after the 9/11 attacks, so they're not as vulnerable or as susceptible to the sorts of, this is all about combating terrorism, and if we don't spy, the terrorists win. To them, it's a much different definition of the public interest. They are much more concerned about privacy because they know that at the end of the day, there might be very little for most Americans.
Elizabeth Williamson, Washington correspondent for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks so much for coming on today. Talk to you again.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Elliot Spitzer, now a candidate for controller of New York City, coming up next.